We're going to be looking, our text, I'll say, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. But I want to be thinking about Thanksgiving tonight. Do you ever have a bad thing happen to you? Maybe something that you would consider really bad, an automobile accident. I can remember a couple of those in my time, a couple of them not fun at all. Maybe it was something like you just got a new watch and you lost it. The band broke off of it or something and now it's gone. Maybe you got sick, had to go to the hospital for something, or you were playing or visiting with some neighbor, slipped and broke your arm or your leg. You've had things happen to you like that. What does the Bible say that we ought to do when we have those things happen to us? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You familiar? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Say it with me. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So what do we do? Trust in the Lord. Bad things happen? Trust in the Lord. Don't try to figure it all out. Trust in the Lord. Also, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We should pray. When bad things happen, we should be praying. James 1, 2-4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, what? Patience. Patience, what does it mean there in that context? Just patience. Endurance, hanging in there. Trial of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking or needing nothing, nothing. So we should trust the Lord, we should pray, we should be patient, and what else should we do? Thank him. We should thank him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, be careful, anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto him, unto God. And then our verse that you turn to in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. When Mary Jean and I got married, this sort of became our verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul wrote this verse in 1 Thessalonians. You have Philippians 4, 6. He wrote that as well, that we should be thankful. In everything, we should be thankful. Consider the source, Paul. Did he ever have any bad times? Look at a couple passages with me. Hold your place here in 1 Thessalonians. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 6, 4. Remembering the Apostle Paul, who wrote, in everything give thanks. In everything. So if he wrote that and he lived the life that he lived, that we know he lived, then he knew what he was talking about. He says in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 6, for in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses. Doesn't that all sound so fun? In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Now we're going to flip a couple of pages to chapter 11. Still 2 Corinthians 11. And the list goes on. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm more a minister of Christ. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thence was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent, I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. So, Paul had been through some hard times. And it's this same Paul who wrote, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Now, it's not hard to hear a person like Paul say something like that. Someone who's had a life of ease, you might be a little less likely to hear what they have to say. But here's a man who's been thankful in everything. Paul, the Apostle Paul. How can I be thankful for something that hurts? How can I be thankful for something that's so hard for me? If I walk by your chair in a few minutes and as we get ready to leave, I step on your foot accidentally. I wouldn't do that on purpose, but I step on it pretty hard and I break the bone across the top of your foot. Should you say to me, "Oh, Pastor, thank you for breaking my foot"? The Bible does not suggest that you need to thank me for breaking your foot or thank me for the pain that you're feeling. You don't have to thank a person for hurting you. And we're not talking about so much thanking persons anyway, are we? When we're thankful, we ought to be thankful to others, but our thanks should go to the Lord. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. It's all over the scripture. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So, we don't have to thank somebody for stepping on our foot, but we should thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting Pastor Danny step on my foot and break it tonight. I never had a broken foot. I'm sure I'm going to enjoy this. Sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? God doesn't expect us to pray any such thing as that. If we did, we'd be lying, wouldn't we? We wouldn't really be thankful for that. In the first couple of verses that we read there, God had the writer use a particular preposition. For instance, in our text here, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Do you see the first word, in? In everything give thanks. It's not for everything give thanks. It's in everything give thanks. See it? In everything. Does that matter? It does matter, doesn't it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if I summarize, the Bible tells me to give thanks in everything, even the things that cause me pain or suffering or hardship. I should be thankful in those. Is that easier? A little bit. I don't have to thank people that cause me pain. I don't have to thank the Lord and tell him that I'm enjoying the pain and I'm glad that I have it. Not according to this, in everything give thanks. Okay, so how can I give thanks in everything? How can I do? How can I give thanks in everything? Romans 8:28 is helpful, isn't it? You've heard me say this before. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. That tells us how we can give thanks in everything. There was an artist, he was setting up his new studio, and he had everything moved in and in place and in a tomorrow he wants to come in and start something in his new studio. It's not quite done yet. A little bit of painting to be done, not his painting, but painting of the room to be done. And the people are going to come in at night and do that. Before he leaves this day, he prepares a canvas. It's an expensive canvas, a rather large one. Sets it up on his easel, gets it all ready. Everything's ready for him when he walks in the door. He's going to start his first piece of art in his new studio. He comes in the morning and he's met at the door by the guys who painted the room the night before. The ceiling had to have some black on it, and one of the painters immediately apologizes. "Listen, I dropped some paint on your canvas." A big black dot in the middle of his canvas. He says, "Okay." The painters leave. And he sits down on his stool in front of this big canvas with a big black dot blob of paint, ugly looking blob of paint. And he stares at it for a long time. And then all of a sudden, he picks up his brushes and he starts spreading colors on the canvas. And before long, he's got a beautiful, beautiful flower there, just almost the size of the canvas, a beautiful flower. And you would never know that big black dot was a mistake. Now it was the center of that big black flower. So he's thankful for that. He's able to spare the canvas. And he goes out and knows that tomorrow he'll come back. This will be dried. He'll do the next part of his painting. When he comes in, he's met at the door by the electricians. They were here doing a little bit of light work through the night. And they immediately apologize and say, "I knocked over your canvas. And I'm sorry, but it slid across your wet palette, and there's a green streak across there, and I've ruined your painting." The man says, "Okay," and he leaves. He gets in front of his canvas. He sits down on his stool, and he stares at the canvas for quite some time. In a little while, he picks up his brush. He starts spreading color, drawing more lines on the canvas, and he turns this green streak across his beautiful flower into a beautiful vine that actually goes out to the edges and frames in the rest of the flower. It's a masterpiece. A masterpiece, this flower. Filled with mistakes, we would say. I want you to know that that's what God does with our life. A work of art. The accidents sort of fade into the beauty of what God's trying to do. Brothers and sisters, that's how we can be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. Because we have the promise that God's still on the throne. He's going to work it all out. And he's going to use these things that seem so ugly and so much of an interference in our plans. What we had in store for ourselves, what we thought we were going to do, God's going to take this and work it all into the scheme of what he's doing in our lives. Exactly what God, the master artist, does is what this artist has done. And so we should give thanks in everything. When bad things come into our life, we don't have to thank the person who did them. Who's responsible for them. A drunk pulled out. We ran into the side of him and wrecked our car. He has no insurance. We don't have to go say, "Thank you for pulling out in front of me." That's foolishness. We don't need to thank the Lord as if we were enjoying the pain. The pain hurts. But we should at least pray something like, "Lord, I don't understand why these things are happening in my life right now. And they really hurt. But I thank you, Lord, for the promise that you're going to use them to make me a better Christian. I want you, Lord, to help me be patient and to trust you while times are tough. Thank you for caring enough about me to eventually bring about a positive result in my life from this terrible tragedy, this event." A prayer like that is to be thankful in everything. And we should do that. You should do that. I should do that. Once we develop this thankfulness, this spirit of thankfulness in the times of trouble and pain, we're going to start to see the benefits of those things that the Lord allows in our life. Like James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these various trials." Because God's going to use it. He's going to make you perfect and complete as a Christian. He's going to help you grow your faith because of these things that are happening in your life right now. And so we can see those things if we'll maintain that thankful spirit. You ever met anybody that was bitter at God? They're upset at God because He allowed this to come into their life. Something happened. Somebody died. Somebody got sick. And they got a bitter spirit rather than a thankful spirit. And they can't see God in anything now. I've known people like that. We want to be exactly the opposite of that. We want to be in everything giving thanks to the Lord because He's promised. He's promised to use it for our good, to make it work out for our good in the end. Once you attain unto a level of spiritual maturity in which you can thank God in the times of trouble and pain, you can advance still further if you'd like. You haven't arrived yet to the fullness of the stature of Christ, even when you can thank God in all of the bad things that come into your life. There's still room to grow, believe it or not. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for. Different preposition now. You want to see the verse? Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. This is hard. We'll never get to this step where we can thank God for the hard times until we can thank God in the hard times. That's what I want you to walk away with tonight. It's easy to be thankful when everything's going your way. Okay, let's go the step beyond that. Let's be thankful in the hard times too, because of the promises of God. And if you can attain unto that, then another step for you who would be mature in Christ, who would be more like Christ, is be thankful for the hard times. Hold your place. Hebrews 11, 35. Hebrews 11, 35. I just thought of this verse after I got to church tonight, walked out of the chime choir practice, and this came to mind. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, or hall of fame of faith, some people call it. Hebrews 11. He goes through all of those in the beginning, telling a little of their story: Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Moses' parents, Joshua, Rahab. And then, you know, time won't allow to bring them all up, he said. So he just starts in general talking about the people, sort of putting them in mass groups of people who've done this and have done that. Look at verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again. It was because of their faith. And others were tortured. And this last part of verse 35 has always amazed me. Not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Do you understand that? Not accepting deliverance. They were suffering for the cause of Christ. They were suffering for their faith, and they didn't want to be delivered. Can you understand that? You've heard of a sadomasochist. Sadist is somebody who likes to inflict pain on others. A masochist is somebody who enjoys pain themselves. And we talk like this: if the world were gathered around our chairs and we filled the room up with worldly people, they would call us something like masochists. They would say, "You're crazy people. You're touched in the head. You want to suffer?" But if you could attain unto this, thank God for the great things He does for you. When things are going your way, remember that every good gift comes from God. Go a step beyond that and thank God in everything, in the bad things that come into life, in the struggles, in the hardships. And if you could acquire that skill, that level of devotion to the Lord, it would be a giant step. It would be a wonderful thing. But you're not there yet. Nor am I. But if we could get to there, there's another step to take. To be thankful for everything. These people were thankful for their privilege of suffering. Do you remember the disciples when they were beaten and released from prison? They were thankful for that they suffered the reproach of Christ. Thankful for their suffering. Paul attained unto this level that we're talking about, a spiritual maturity. He was able to thank God for the hardships, for the pain that resulted in his life in progress, in privilege, and in power. Progress, privilege, and power were his because he got to the point to where he thanked God for the suffering. Now, I don't want you to just take my word for that. Let's look at some verses. I have 6-7 passages. I'd like for you to turn to all of them. 2 Corinthians 1:5. 2 Corinthians 1:5. Paul attained unto the level of spiritual maturity where he could thank God for the hardships and the pain because it would result in progress and privilege and power. 2 Corinthians 1:5, "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ." Consolation means comfort. It means encouragement. It means consolation. Suffering. They suffered, and the more they suffered, the more consolation. The more they felt the presence of Christ, for which Paul rejoiced. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That was the Lord saying that to Paul. Do you remember the context here? What's the context? The thorn in the flesh. He prayed how many times that God would take it away? Three times. And this is what God told him. "My grace is sufficient for you, Paul. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Is that true for me? Yeah. And for you? Most definitely. In our weakness, when we can't do it, and God does it in our lives, then He gets lots of glory. And He shows Himself strong. He says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." And look at how Paul responds to that. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." You see it? I confess to you that I'm not there yet. I want to get there. I pray about this. "Glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, there are degrees of thankfulness. Thankfulness when everything's going your way. Thankfulness for God's promises when things aren't going your way, and then thankful for the hard times themselves because they produce this completeness, this maturity, this spiritual maturity in us. We're not masochist. We don't love pain for pain's sake, do we? We love pain, if need be, for Christ's sake. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, you probably don't need to turn there, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul was abandoned to Christ. Listen to that word, abandon to Christ. Paul's life was only about Christ, that's all. He was abandoned. He abandoned himself to God. That is a good word to remember. Abandoned to Christ. Paul's life was only about the Lord Jesus. Philippians 2:17. Philippians 2:17. Paul says in Philippians 2:17, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." If I'm offered upon the sacrifice of service, there was what's called a libation was the drink offering. Do you remember reading about that back in the law? The drink offering. If you were doing a sacrifice, generally it would be filled up, so to speak, if you poured the drink offering on top of it, either around it or on top of it. And the drink offering would turn to steam and ascend into heaven. The drink offering. It was sort of the final touch, if you will, to the offering that was being made on the sacrifice, on the altar. And Paul said, "I'll be the drink offering for you Philippians, for your service. I'll be the drink offering, offering myself up for the sacrifice, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." And he said, I joy. I rejoice. I'll pour myself out so that you'll be worth all you could possibly be to Christ. You see, he was all about Jesus Christ. That's how he could suffer shipwreck and spend the nights in the deep and the stripes, 40 stripes save one. That's why he could suffer those things, because he had abandoned himself to Christ. Look at Philippians 3:8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ." Abandoned to Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Does that sound pretty sold out to you? Abandoned to Christ. Suffer for the cause. Die just like Christ, not to redeem the lost, but so that the lost might be redeemed. "By my testimony," he said, "I would even give my life. I would be eager to give my life for the cause of Christ." Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Colossians 1:24. "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church." I could preach a sermon about any of these passages. These are wonderful passages, but they reveal the kind of man that Paul was, who said, "In everything, give thanks." Peter understood as well over in 1 Peter chapter 4:13. He says, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye be partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon thee. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." I wonder, dear brothers and sisters here tonight, will Will you be thankful in everything? In. Will you bow your head and say, Lord, I don't understand why this has happened, and I'm certainly not enjoying it. But I thank you that you'll be with me through it. Can you thank God in everything? And then if you can get to that point in your spiritual walk, can you thank God for everything? The world would call us touched. We would say that we're viewing our hardships from God's perspective and from His purpose. He's allowing these trials, He allows these hardships into our life so that we can bring glory and honor to Him. And the first century Christians got on their knees and sang hymns in the middle of the gladiator's Colosseum and thank God for the privilege of suffering for His cause. Thank God for everything. This thing of thanksgiving, something we need to spend some time thinking about. Where are you in your spiritual maturity pertaining to thanks? Join me in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this night to share these thoughts. I thank you for the thoughts, Lord, for myself. Lord, I need to grow here in this thing of thanksgiving. Perhaps brothers and sisters around me, Lord, would say the same. Help us, Lord. Help us first to thank you and not forget when things are going our way that every good gift comes from you. Lord, when hard times come, help us to be able to recall the wonderful promises, to view our hardships, Lord, as an opportunity to grow. And Lord, to understand that you will take those hardships and those accidents and those painful situations and you'll make them part of our lives, Lord, in such a way as there'll be things of beauty in the end. And Lord, should we attain unto that measure of spiritual maturity, we pray that you would help us to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, that I might know him in the power of the resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Lord, could we be martyrs? Whether we will be martyrs or not, Lord, is not the most important thing. But Lord, I pray that you would make us all willing. Help us to be thankful for the opportunities that we have to bring glory and honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.